Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal today. We have any number of developments at home and abroad. Moscow is now claiming Britain's Royal Navy blew up Nord Stream 1 and 2, and this appears to be exactly what happened. In fact, it appears Liz Truss had such a brief tenure as a prime minister because she mucked up in terms of security by having conversations about them having carried out this deed that were not secure. Russia's army is now accused that British Navy of being involved in the explosion on the Nord Stream pipeline and of helping Ukraine plan a massive drone attack on Moscow's Black Sea fleet. Although Russia's defense ministry did not provide evidence for the claim, let me mention there was an unexploded drone, by the way, that Sweden apprehended, and Sweden was verifying the source, which clearly I now believe was indeed the British Navy, since the United States would have been so obvious as was a matter of plausible deniability, even though Biden and Victoria Nuland had both declared that if Russia were to invade Ukraine with tanks and troops, that there'd be no Nord Stream pipeline. It said representatives of a unit of the British Navy took part in the planning, provision, and implementation of a terrorist attack in the Baltic Sea on September 26 and blew up the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 gas pipelines. By the way, this is an act of war. The British ministry has described it as an invented story, which says more about arguments going on inside the Russian government than it does about the West, which is, of course, complete bullshit. They've been caught with their pants down. This is as serious as it gets in terms of international relations. Moscow also alleges the British troops were involved in a drone attack on their Black Sea fleet in the Crimean port city of Sevastopol today. And this was published on the 29th. Which Russia claimed involved 9 drones damaging 1 warship. There's the pipeline you can see here, and this will be the video record of today's show, will be posted on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, after the show. They caused 4 gas leaks. while they were in international waters, two were in the Danish exclusive economic zone, two of them in the Swedish. Here's an aerial photo showing the gas leak, you know, this massive quantity of gas coming to the surface. A spokesperson for the Russian Defense Ministry said, at 4:20 a.m. today, the Kiev regime carried out a terrorist attack on the Black Sea fleet ships and civilian vessels. Preparation for the terrorist act and training of military personnel of Ukrainian 73rd Special Operations Center Marine Unit was carried out under the guidance of British specialists who were in the city of Ochakov, Mykolaiv region, Ukraine. He warned, it should be stressed, that the Black Sea Fleet vessels that suffered the terrorist attack are involved in ensuring the security of the grain corridor as part of the international initiative to export agricultural products from Ukrainian ports. Russia has said Western countries have not allowed it to take part in international investigations of the explosions. Instead, it has for weeks hinted its security services have a different version of what caused the explosions, while some Western countries have called it sabotage and pointed the finger at Russia, which is just about as absurd as it gets. I mean, Russia, after all, can turn off the pipeline by just turning a valve. It doesn't need to destroy something it spent years and billions in constructing. It's the gas connection to Europe. There's every reason to suppose, providing nuclear war doesn't intervene, of course, that there'll be resumption of cheap gas to Europe. But meanwhile, Europe is suffering. In the winter, there's going to be freezing. There are going to be riots, uprising. They're cutting down old forests in Germany for firewood. The situation is getting desperate, and it ain't going to get better anytime soon. Both Swedish and Danish authorities have been investigating four holes in the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines. While the leaks were in international waters, two of them were in Danish exclusive economic zone, two in the Swedish. Meanwhile, the Ministry of Defense, this is the UK, to detract from their disastrous handling of the illegal invasion of Ukraine, the Russian Ministry of Defense is resorting to peddling false claims of an epic scale. This invented story says more about arguments going on inside the Russian government than it does about the West. I'm sorry to say, the fact that the British are going to lie about it when they've got them nailed to the wall, mind you, Russia will have the proof. They already do. I have no doubt they're very prudent. They're very thoughtful. They're very thorough. The pipelines have been at the center of geopolitical tensions as Russia cut gas supplies to Europe in suspected retaliation against Western sanctions over Moscow's invasion. While the pipelines were not in operation, they contained gas before falling victim to the destruction. Fingers pointed at Russia, but it is simply the Kremlin replied appropriately, calling such allegations stupid, previously blaming the United States and now making claims about the UK. In videos published by Swedish newspaper Expressen last week, a massive tear in twisted metal can be seen on the pipeline 80 meters down under the ocean. Through the gloom, a deep trench can be seen in the seabed where the gas pipeline used to be before the explosions. According to the paper, the videos show how over 165 feet of the pipeline is either missing or buried under the seabed, and long tears can be observed on the seabed leading up to the burst pipe. It's only an extreme force that can bend metal that thick, and the way we are seeing, said Trond Larsen, a drone operator with the Norwegian company Blue Eye Robotics. Larsen, who piloted the submersible drone which captured the video, also said you can see a very large impact on the seabed around the pipe. Now, Russia has retrieved and is examining parts of the drones used in the Sevastopol attack. Moscow. The Russian Defense Ministry raised from the sea bottom and inspected fragments of drones that were used to strike ships and infrastructure of the Russian Black Sea Fleet on Saturday, which revealed that they were launched near the port city of Odessa. A ministry noted its specialists, in coordination with experts from other agencies, examined the Canadian-made navigation modules installed on the maritime drones. So now we got Canada involved here. According to the results of recovery of the information from the memory of the navigation unit, it was established that the launch of the maritime drones was carried out from the coast near the city of Odessa. The drones were moving along the safe zone of the so-called Grain Corridor between swerving toward Russia's naval base in Sevastopol. Coordinates of the trajectory of one of the maritime drones suggest it was launched from the waters of the Grain Corridor safe zone in the Black Sea. According to experts, this may indicate a preliminary launch of this drone from one of the civilian vessels chartered by Kiev or its Western supporters to export agricultural products from Ukrainian ports. On Saturday, the Russian Defense Ministry said Moscow was suspending its participation in the grain deal following Ukraine's drone attack on vessels of the Russian Black Sea Fleet in Sevastopol. Meanwhile, Russian missiles hit British Operations Center in Ukraine. Surprise, surprise. The Russian army has struck the base of the Ukrainian Navy in Ochechiv, a city in the Nikolaev region, with missiles. This particular strike took out the communication center and intelligence department of the British Naval Operations Service. We're told by sources in Ukraine that at least one Russian precision missile hit at the actual windowsill of the base commander's office. Said one knowledgeable source, Britain is responsible for the Kerch Bridge attack, the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 sabotage, sinking the cruiser Moskva, and also for yesterday's attack on the Sevastopol Crimean naval base. If you are in UK, I would start thinking to move out. You're not going to like what's going to happen next. Now, bear in mind, Russia's already declared that if it is engaged in a nuclear war with NATO, then it's not going to be restricted to targets in Ukraine, and mention target number one will be London, which, as many of you will have heard me observe before, echoes Muammar Gaddafi's observation that if you want to end international terrorism, just lob a cruise missile into the city of London. Well, look at the provocations of the British here. This is stunning. The Kerch Bridge, the Nord Stream, taking out the battleship, the flagship of the Black Sea Fleet for Russia. Now attacking with drones. I mean, these are all, everyone, an act of war committed by the UK against Russia. They will not go unresponded. Russia tells the UN it will inspect Black Sea ships. Ukraine grossly violated the Istanbul Agreement on grain exports via the Black Sea and forced Moscow to suspend it indefinitely, Russia's envoy to the UN told the Security Council Monday. The Russian Navy will inspect all cargo ships bound for Ukraine, even those unilaterally cleared by the Turkish Base Coordination Center. This subversive action of Kiev grossly violates the Istanbul Agreements and, in fact, puts an end to their humanitarian dimension. It's now obvious to everyone that the Black Sea Humanitarian Corridor is being used by the Ukrainian side for military sabotage purposes, referring to Saturday's drone attack on Sevastopol. Russia cannot guarantee the safety of civilian ship participating in the Black Sea Initiative, he added. We do not know what the terrorist attacks Kiev is preparing with the support of its Western sponsors. Sunday, after Moscow announced the suspension of the arrangement, the Joint Coordination Center in Istanbul said it had green-lighted 16 ships to navigate the corridor on Monday and informed Russia about the decision. According to maritime traffic data, at least two left the Black Sea port of Odessa in the morning, reporting Istanbul as their destination. Decisions and measures taken with our participation are not binding on us, the Russian representative told the UN. Moscow cannot allow ships to pass without inspection and will be forced to take independent measures to inspect ships authorized by the JCC without Russian approval. Meanwhile, the UN coordinator for the Black Sea Grain Initiative, Emir Abdullah, insisted the food must flow. The UN and Turkey mediated a deal in July under which Ukrainian grain would be exported via the Black Sea, while Western obstacles for the export of Russian grain and fertilizer would be removed. The U.S. and its allies insist they had never sanctioned grain exports, but their sanctions on Russian ships and insurance made them impossible in practice. Moscow has criticized the West for not living up to its part of the deal and pointed out that the bulk of Ukrainian exports went to the EU and not the African nations most affected by food insecurity. Stunning stuff. As though to make matters worse, the U.S. is bringing nuclear Armageddon closer by deploying its B-61-12 bombs in Europe, strengthening the nuclear component in NATO's military plans. While Moscow accuses Washington of planning the rapid deployment of modernized B-61 tactical nuclear weapons to NATO bases in Europe, which will lower the nuclear thresholds, Russia is taking into account this move in its military planning. Politico reported on October 26 that the U.S. announced at a closed NATO meeting it would accelerate the development of an upgraded version of the B-61-12, with the new weapons arriving at European bases in December 2022, several months earlier than scheduled. We cannot ignore plans to modernize nuclear weapons, these freedom bombs that are in Europe, said the Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Alexander Grushko. The 3.6-meter-long B-61-2 gravity bomb carries a lower-yield nuclear warhead than many previous versions, but is more accurate and can penetrate underground, according to research by the Federation of American Scientists published back in 2014. The U.S. is modernizing its nuclear weapons, increasing their accuracy and reducing the power of the nuclear payload, turning them into battlefield weapons, Grushko said. The Pentagon did not respond to requests for comments. A Pentagon spokesman said, of course, that the modernization had been underway for years. The American B-61 was first tested in Nevada shortly after the Cuban Missile Crisis under Barack Obama, 2009 to 2017. The development of a new version, this is the 12, was approved. Grushko also underlined that Russian leadership has already put under the microscope the F-35 aircraft that can carry such a bomb. NATO has already taken decisions to strengthen the nuclear component in the alliance's military plans, he said. Russia has about 2,000 operational nukes, while the U.S. has about 200, half of which are based in Italy, Germany, Turkey, Belgium, and the Netherlands. The Russian ambassador to the United States, Anatol Anatov, called on Washington to return the nuclear weapons it developed in other countries. In these times of tension and high risk, nuclear powers have a special responsibility to prevent escalation. I think he meant the nuclear weapons it has positioned in other countries. I once again call on Washington to remove all nuclear weapons deployed abroad and to abandon the practice of simulating the use of such weapons involving troops from non-nuclear countries as part of NATO's joint nuclear missions, which contradict the basic principles of the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Close to the border with Russia, of course. American officials have traditionally referred to them as tactical and argued Russia's arsenal is many times larger than America's. However, they do not disclose the fact that all of our tactical nuclear weapons are stored in central facilities in Russia and cannot pose a threat to the U.S. As for the U.S. nuclear bombs, they are being deployed in European countries with short flight times to Russia's border. This is why the B-61-12 bombs are of strategic importance, despite their limited nuclear payload, he noted. Additionally, U.S. Armed Forces, together with their NATO partners, regularly conduct exercise for the use of these weapons. Indeed, it's currently taking place as part of Exercise Steadfast Noon. Meanwhile, get this. Congressman Jamie Raskin, what an idiot. Democrat congressman says arming Ukraine is about protecting woke values because Russia is mean to gays and transgenders. Democrat Congressman Jamie Raskin has issued a statement saying ongoing military aid to Ukraine is essential because Russia is mean to gay and transgender people. Yes, really. Raskin released a statement after 30 progressive Democrats watered down their call for peace talks in a letter to Joe Biden. Raskin, a Democrat from Maryland, is apparently concerned that any slide in support for Ukraine represents an abandonment of woke values. Moscow, right now, is a world center of anti-feminism, anti-gay, anti-trans hatred, as well as the homeland of replacement theory for export, he said. Calling Vladimir Putin an imperialist and a colonizer, Raskin went on to demonize the entire country. Moscow right now is a hub of corrupt tyranny, censorship, authoritarian repression, police violence, propaganda, government lies and disinformation, and planning for war crimes. My, that sounds exactly like what we have here in the United States. A hub of corrupt tyranny, censorship, authoritarian repression, police violence, propaganda, government lies and disinformation, and planning for war. That's what the hell we have right here in Washington, D.C. today. In supporting Ukraine, he continues with this absurd rant, we are opposing these fascist views and supporting the urgent principles of democratic pluralism. Ukraine is not perfect, of course, but its society is organized on the radically different principles of democracy and freedom. What horse shit! As we have previously highlighted, the bizarre intersection of sending advanced weaponry to foreign conflicts in the name of defending far-left identity politics reared its head right at the start of the war. Back in February, the head of MI6, that's a British, the equivalent of our CIA, who includes his preferred pronouns in his Twitter bio, faced backlash for suggesting that a large part of the war in Ukraine was about LGBT plus rights. Give us a break. With the tragedy and destruction unfolding so distressingly in Ukraine, we should remember the values and hard-won freedoms that distinguish us from Putin, none more than LGBT plus rights. So let's resume our series of tweets to mark hashtag LGBTHM2022, tweeted Richard Moore, he, him. One of the principal organizers of Dublin's Gay Pride Parade also decided to add the colors of Ukraine to the LGBTQ rainbow flag, presumably to ensure support for all that support for all current things were covered. How bad is this? Meanwhile, right here in the U.S., the Democrats are falling apart. They're having a meltdown. All the polls are drastically going against them. They brought out their biggest gun, Barack Obama himself, who has made an announcement that proves Democrats are in a panic mode. Democrats are fighting to keep the razor-thin majorities in November's midterm. They're getting nervous about their chances. The bad news is piling up as campaign season comes down the home stretch. Republicans only need to flip one seat in the Senate and five in the House to retake control of Congress. Democrats are panicking about turnout in key battleground states ahead of next week's midterm, which will be Tuesday the 8th. Enthusiasm to vote from key parts of the Democrat base like Black and Hispanic voters is plunging after two disastrous years of President Biden. With our congressional majorities on the line, Democrats are hitting the panic button in the final week before the election. Former President Barack Obama is trying to ride to the rescue by holding rallies for Democrat candidates in crucial battleground states. Obama is heading to Georgia, Washington, Nevada, and Pennsylvania to fire up Democrats' radical left-wing base in the lead-up. All four states are home to key battleground Senate races that will determine which party controls the Senate after the midterms. In all four states, Republican Senate candidates appear to have the momentum heading into Election Day and are even leading in some polls. With President Biden sporting an approval rating deeply underwater in key battleground states, Democrats are hoping Obama can regain some of his old campaign magic. He's probably a better ambassador for swing state Democrats than Biden is, since he's more popular, especially in the competitive states and less tied to the current issues on voters' minds. Inside elections analyst Jacob Rubashkin said he's also a more natural campaigner. Democrat candidates in swing states against the country have been trying to keep Biden at arm's length. Biden has been keeping a low profile, reserving most of his appearances for deep blue states. Obama plans to hit Michigan along the way to stump for Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Voter turnout in midterm elections drop off from presidential years, so Democrats are hoping Obama can excite key parts of their base. Democrat insider worried about turnout by black, Hispanic, and younger voters demographics Obama did historically well with in both of his presidential runs. President Obama remains able to unite base Democrats, persuadable voters, and to motivate demographics less likely to turn out in midterms like young people, said a former spokesman for Obama's 2012 campaign. In the crucial Senate battleground state of Georgia, Democrats are hoping Obama can turn out black voters in the race between incumbent Senator Raphael Warnock and Republican Herschel Walker. African-American voters are going to be crucial to Democrats' chances, Emory political science professor Andra Gillespie said. Bringing in President Obama helps underscore the importance of the African-American vote while also exciting others. While Democrats may hope Barack Obama saves them, in Virginia's gubernatorial race last year, his appearance did not stop Republicans from winning a statewide race in the Commonwealth for the first time in a decade. And that was with a candidate against a candidate who was favoring infanticide. Unbelievable. And that parents had nothing to say about what their children are taught in schools.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, it's obvious that Democrats know they're going to lose power, so they're taking advantage of being in office now to perpetrate more fraud, deception on the American people and even the members of Congress. Marjorie Taylor Greene is calling it out. They have just approved a massive, like, $1.75 trillion bill. It runs over 2,500 pages. They didn't allow any amendments. I mean, listen to what Marjorie Taylor Greene has to say.
Hey, everyone. This is Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. I want to tell you how corrupt Congress is. Now, you would not believe what happened last night. As a matter of fact, I'm still shocked about it, and the rest of the Republicans, we're all shocked about it. So you've been hearing probably about the omnibus bill that has been going through the Appropriations Committee. This is a $1.5 trillion omnibus bill that none of us got to see anything in the bill text. We had no idea what was in it until this morning when we found out that the Rules Committee, which is a Democrat-controlled committee, and they put out their basically their alert on their website. They did not email any of us. They put it on their website after midnight, as in early this morning. They put it on their website that the Rules Committee would be meeting at 1:30 a.m. And that is where the Rules Committee meets to debate the bill. Now, normally in how Congress should work, but it doesn't work this way since Pelosi has been Speaker, is an appropriations bill is something that every member of Congress can go. We can put amendments in. We can debate on the bill. And then once it goes to Rules Committee, that is where we can go and argue back and try to put amendments and try to make changes. So they met in the middle of the night, in the dark of night. The Democrat-run Rules Committee met at 1:30 in the morning, and by 2:30 a.m. early this morning, they had passed the $1.5 trillion omnibus bill, and they released the bill text. So for all of us here in Washington, when we woke up earlier this morning, we found out that it was too late to go in and try to put amendments in, try to argue back, try to get things removed from this horrendous, absolutely horrendous $1.5 trillion spending bill that's supposed to keep the government the lights on. But no, we weren't able to do that because the Democrats snuck it through, literally snuck it through from 1:30 in the morning till 2:30 in the morning. They did not tell us ahead of time. No one had any idea until they put it on their website after midnight. After midnight, they posted it. So none of us knew. How were we supposed to know? This is not how Congress is supposed to work. It's completely broken. So when you look at our government and you are shocked and cannot believe that the things that happen here in Washington, D.C., I am telling you, this is how corrupt it is. It is so corrupt. It is shocking. I mean, I've been here since January of 2021, and I have been continuously, my mind has been blown at how bad it is here in Washington and how corrupt and how things just are done the wrong way. But the fact that last night the Rules Committee met after midnight and they told no one and they snuck in there in the dark of night, meeting from 1:30 to 2:30 a.m., to pass the omnibus bill, that just means that they wanted to sneak it through and they didn't want anyone to stop them. So now we have no way of changing the bill, no way of adding amendments, no way of doing anything. We're just forced to vote on it today. We are supposed to vote on this $1.5 trillion omnibus bill today, and no one has read it. No one has read the bill. 2,741 pages. Yes, that's right, 2,741 pages of $1.5 trillion in spending. Please share this video so that everyone knows how corrupt and how horrible Congress is being run by Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. It's never been done this way in history. This is so broken. It is so wrong. Please share this video and let people know that the Democrats met in the dark of night in the Rules Committee from 1:30 to 2:30 a.m. to sneak by the $1.5 trillion omnibus bill with 2,741 pages, and we're supposed to vote today, and we haven't even been able to read it. We're barely able to read it. So this is completely wrong. Please tell everyone this is exactly what they're doing. Other votes we have today is the oil ban for Russia. We have a temporary spending bill that keeps the government's lights on until Tuesday. I don't think the government deserves to keep its lights on. I think the government should be shut down, especially when they're sneaking bills through in the middle of the night. This is completely wrong. Nancy Pelosi should be completely unseated as Speaker of the House. Who can honestly tolerate this type of treatment? And she works for the American people and the American tax dollars. So I'm completely disgusted and appalled, and I wanted you to know, I want everyone to know, this is the thing, these are the things that happen here, and I'm upset, I'm angry, and I'm angry on behalf of all of you, and I hope you're angry too, because this place is broken. I mean, they're literally sneaking through massive spending bills with awful things in them in the middle of the night. Okay, please hit share and let everyone know exactly.
What this means, of course, is the Democrats realize they're going down big here this coming Tuesday. They're going down big, and they're scared shitless. So they're going to do, what do you imagine is in this $1.5 trillion spending bill? You can guarantee it's for electric charging stations, it's for removing gasoline filling stations, it's for requiring all automobiles to go electric. I mean, it's a disaster in the making. what happens when Russia takes out our electrical grid? Then we can't get anywhere. We'll completely immobilize. Everything we have that's dependent upon electricity will be defunct. The idea of gas is, you know, you get much more benefit from gas. You can go further, faster, in less time. You don't have to stop and charge. I reported already going from Casper to Cheyenne, Wyoming, a trip that should take 3 hours, an electric car took 15. We have automobiles that are catching on fire down in Florida because they were exposed to salt water. If you got to replace your battery, it's not $100 at Sears, it's $22,000. Who thought this was a good idea? And when you have to, instead of filling up your tank, which might take 5 minutes at a regular pump, is going to take you hours at a charging station. I mean, this is so absurd, I can't believe it. But it's part of the Democrats' green agenda because they've fallen into the absurdity of believing that CO2 actually increases the temperature of Earth when it does no such thing. CO2 actually cools Earth in four different respects and contributes to the production of water and of oxygen through photosynthesis. So there's much more going on here. Now, when it comes to Speaker Pelosi, despicable, I mean grotesque figure that she is, what could be more fitting than to have her husband exposed as a gay guy engaged in gay sex in the privacy of their home, where he fell into a lover's spat with a young prostitute with whom he's had previous relations. Here are some of the latest developments. Sunday Talks, national media, use assault on Paul Pelosi to frame the midterm election. In other words, they're going out of their way to find the right way to spin it to try to make it look good for the Democrats. They're trying to make this guy, David DePap, out to be a mega man, a Trump supporter, a conservative, when he was anything but. He was living in a hippie commune. He's a supporter of Black Lives Matter. He's in Berkeley, for God's sake. This is not a bastion of conservatism. So just notice what's going on here. This is one of those especially telling cases where when you know the facts, you can just see, you can virtually measure how distorted they're being reported by the mainstream media. In other words, more confirmation for Trump's calling out the fake news media, which he did again and again. If that had been his only contribution as president, that would have made him a great president all by itself. But he also gave us a robust economy. He also made us energy independent. He also shut down the border. He created a situation where the lowest wage earners were seeing their wages rise at the highest rate. And now, because the Democrats have gone all in on abortion, they are losing the Hispanic support. They are losing the Catholic vote. You'd think Nancy Pelosi would be smart enough to realize that if you go all in on abortion right up to the moment of birth, and in some instances even after, which of course is infanticide, that most normal human beings, even those of us who may be pro-choice, aren't going to endorse or be enthusiastic about the mass murder that's taking place here. Remember, under Roe, any abortion other than to save the life of the mother or her health in the third trimester, after the viability it takes place at the end of the second trimester, which isn't a function of heart or brain activity, but rather of the development of the lungs sufficient for the developing fetus to survive outside of the intrauterine environment, which really is the moment at which the court, in effect, declared it to become a person with a legal, social, and moral rights attendant thereto, including a primitive right to life. All these abortions up to the moment of birth are murder. Those are murder. If they are not to save the life or the health of the mother, they are murder. And you expect Hispanics and Catholics to be enthusiastic about it? This is utter moronic on the part of the Democrats. So how are they going to try to spin Pelosi's husband, a gay guy, who's outed with having a lover spat? How are they going to spin it? Well, listen. This is from Gateway Pundit. It's particularly noteworthy how the intelligence outlet media, specifically the New York Times, Washington Post, and Politico, frame reaction to the story of Paul Pelosi being attacked in San Francisco by a hammer-wielding man, possibly in his underwear. Essentially, if you do not believe the original media story about how police were doing a welfare check at 2 a.m. on Paul Pelosi, only to discover a 42-year-old man named Dave DePapp, who had recently broken into the house, arguing with Mr. Pelosi and then striking the victim in the head with a hammer while police watched, then you are a right-wing conspiracy theorist. The Washington Post is aghast. People are not necessarily buying the official storyline, questioning some other angle may exist of the story as tantamount to not believing in global warming or something such. Washington Post. The skepticism didn't stay in right-wing echo chambers, but seeped into the feeds of popular online personalities, including Twitter's new owner, Elon Musk. There is a tiny possibility there might be more to this story than meets the eye, he wrote Sunday morning, pointing his 112 million followers to a sensationalistic account of the episode published by a site known for spreading right-wing misinformation, right? They got to smear it. This is name-calling. This is not suitable argument. This is the ad hominem fallacy attacking the messenger when you can't defeat the message. Classic disinformation. Every Sunday talk show led off with a story that extreme right-wing fascists were now running amok, and only voting for Democrats could the crisis of society falling into anarchy be avoided. As the national media narrative was promoted, apparently hordes of homosexual nudists clad only in mega hats and underwear while waving claw hammers are ready to storm Washington, D.C. if the Republicans win the election. I think that meant, yeah, if the Republicans win the Republicans don't win the election, I think they mean. The only thing that can stop the pending mayhem is high voter turnout by 18 to 30-year-olds who vote Democrat. And the same media is wondering why they're no longer considered credible? Go figure. Meanwhile, this is from Investors Watch blog. Alleged President Biden is using the obviously fake Pelosi attack to smear Trump voters. Chris Black writes, this event is clearly staged before midterms. I mean, who could believe that a homeless weirdo could break into Nancy Pelosi's home fortress? Did you see those walls, bro? And that the cops would show up. No private security, laughing out loud and just sit on ass, watching her husband get attacked with a hammer. Here's Hillary Clinton tweeting. The Republican Party and its mouthpieces now regularly spread hate and deranged conspiracy theories. It is shocking but not surprising that violence is the result. As citizens, we must hold them accountable for their words and the actions that follow. The alleged attacker is not even being charged with breaking and entering. How did he get in the house? No one explained. They released a photo of a broken window with a glass on the outside, laughing out loud. So did the homeless guy scale the outer wall in his underwear after walking through a wealthy neighborhood in his underwear? I mean, come on, man. Even Musk tweeted that this was some weird conspiracy, but later deleted the tweet because he's a bitch. That he deleted it, I'm unaware of. So far as I know, he actually defended the tweet. Now, here are some of the comments on the early report about the call into the police dispatcher where the reporting person said that there was a man in his house and then added that his name was David and that he was a friend. This is from Paul Pelosi. It's right there in the recording. Live Free or Die tweeted, there was no forcible entry into the house or Paul. Dorothea, 76. Broken glass was found outside the house, not inside the home. Breaking in would cause glass to be inside the house. The man found in only his underwear with Paul Pelosi was also in the car when Pelosi was arrested for DUI. And some sites claim the guy is a male prostitute and the hammer they were fighting over is a sex toy. The 911 call has been released and Paul P. sounds confused per report. John Gall. The confusion in the reports of the hammer is because it was a 24-ounce dildo called the hammer, sources confirm. Nick Fasciato. Pelosi got pounded by a prostitute with a plastic penis? Let it be me. His backside was forcibly entered. You can bet your undies on that, Mr. Freedom Fighter. So I looked it up, and there it is. Adult sex toys love hammer pink round vibrator hammer. It's a vibrating hammer. It's a shape of a hammer. It's a dildo. Adult sex toys love hammer pink round vibrator, shipped all 48 states. Buy with confidence. We have a 100,000 square foot warehouse ready to ship. Batteries not included. Now, this thing is pretty hefty. Three speeds, 21 functions, 9433. 9433. Get $60 off upon approval for the Amazon Reward Visa card. This is an Amazon product. It's the hammer. They were using it on each other until they got into an argument. Here's another report that's closer to the truth. The awful truth. Paul Pelosi was drunk again and in a dispute with a male prostitute early Friday morning. Paul Pelosi stated that he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and that he is a friend. Yeah, right. It doesn't add up. Some people on social media are questioning the attack on Paul Pelosi. As San Francisco's gay bars closed at 2 a.m., two gay men met in a bar and went home together. Happens every night in the city by the bay. Except one of these two men was married. To House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. I might disappear for telling you the truth. If I do, you'll all know why. But here's what really happened early Friday morning in San Francisco, in my humble opinion. According to San Francisco Police Department, quote, RP, reporting person, stated that there's a male in the home and that he's going to wait for his wife. RP stated that he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and that he is a friend, the dispatch official said. RP sounded somewhat confused. It's been a rumor for years in San Francisco that Paul Pelosi is gay. David DePapp is said to be a Castro nudist. The lunatic who allegedly assaulted Paul Pelosi is a Berkeley resident and a former Castro nudist protester and hemp jewelry maker. Sounds totally mega Republican to me, coming from Twitter. Meanwhile, journalism is dead. Media torch for coverage of Paul Pelosi's story. Despite conflicting reports and many unanswered questions, President Biden and other Democrat Party leaders have used the assault by a hammer-wielding, apparently mentally ill, illegal alien on House Speaker Pelosi's husband to rally midterm voters, casting the violent act as an inevitable result of right-wing election denier rhetoric. And Monday afternoon, announcing attempted murder charges against 42-year-old David DePapp, San Francisco District Attorney Brooke Jenkins affirmed to reporters that prosecutors believe the attack was politically motivated. That is such a gross lie. But the ideology of the suspect, an illegal alien from Canada who is a member of the far-left Green Party and lives in a dilapidated bus on the Berkeley, California property of nudist drug abusers who support Black Lives Matter, is all over the map, judging by purported social media postings, and the circumstances of the incident are still under investigation. Yet you got the San Francisco District Attorney Brooke Jenkins saying it was politically motivated. Bullshit! Nevertheless, establishment media immediately jumped aboard the Democrat narrative. Journalism is dead, tweeted Daily Wire CEO Jeremy Boring. 20 years ago, every major publication would have had boots on the ground chasing the facts in the Paul Pelosi story, questioning the narrative, interviewing everyone, even tangentially connected, demanding transparency and the release of calls and footage. On Friday, Biden said during a speech to Democrats in Pennsylvania, there were reports that the same chant, "Where's Nancy?" was used by this guy that they have in custody that was used on January 6th, the attack on the U.S. Capitol. This is just ridiculous. Biden goes on, "This is despicable." Yes, it is despicable that what they are saying here, which bears no remote resemblance to the truth, this is so colossally embarrassing. This is so catastrophic for the Democrats leading up to the midterm. The timing could not be more perfect. Biden claims there's no place in America. There's too much violent political violence, too much hatred, too much vitriol, Biden said. The chief hatred promoter, Biden, said there's too much hatred. He's the guy who's promoting it. Now, what makes us think one party can talk about stolen election, COVID being a hoax, that it's all a bunch of lies, and it not affect people who may not be so well balanced? What makes us think that it's not going to alter the political climate? Enough is enough is enough. What happy horseshit. COVID is a hoax. The election was stolen. It is a bunch of lies. Confident that he knew what happened, NBC News reporter Ben Collins said in a segment on MSNBC that he has read the great historians on authoritarianism. And Elon Musk delayed tweet Sunday morning, suggesting an alternative narrative was how you lose your democracy. How ridiculous is this? How you lose your democracy? This is obviously an absurd situation. This is a $6 million mansion. It has high security. They're closed-circuit television. There was no break-in. They aren't even charging the guy with breaking and entering because there was no break-in. But there was a window broken out. And the glass was on the outside, not on the in. And Paul Pelosi was not only treated for a skull fracture. I mean, imagine being hit over the head by this monster dildo loaded with batteries. It would be like hit it with a heavy flashlight, which may have been what killed JonBenet Ramsey, by the way. And he's also got all these cuts on his hand and arm, his right hand and arm, because he's the one who popped out the glass, and he cut himself in doing it. What could be more obvious? We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening. Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Let me mention, by the way, given that GiveSendGo.com/FundingFetzer notice that I'm back before the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm requesting a rehearing on the basis of new evidence, including legal arguments that were in my application for a stay, which never caught up with a petition that was heard a week later after the petition had already been denied. And since a petition for the stay was to stay until the petition had been reviewed, since a petition had already been denied, they didn't even pay attention to the content of the application to stay, which was very powerful, especially in relation to the failure of the Supreme Court in the past to have affirmed the applicability of the Seventh Amendment to all 50 states. There were other arguments there that thus qualify as new legal arguments, and I have new evidential arguments in the appendices, which are also discussed in the petition, where you can now download the petition for yourself, go to the Supreme Court docket, search for Fetzer v. Posner. You can download the petition. Now, there are two appendices, actually, altogether there are five, A, B, C, D in the first, and in the second, E, where the first five are all about the FEMA manual for the exercise and having proof that the Connecticut FEMA had the drill on their agenda. This is published stuff that was archived and that I have recovered. Also, that classic photograph of the crime scene investigative vehicle being in the parking lot when the windows to classroom 10 remain undamaged. So that even though they've removed the metadata from these photographs And there are a whole bunch more in the Appendix E with an affidavit of having gone through the files and discovered reason after reason to disbelieve the official narrative. Look, inside the classroom, there weren't even any desks. There weren't even any student desks. There was no American flag, no pictures of George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. I mean, it's just ridiculous. There's no signs, no bodies, no signs of any blood, either in the hallway, in the classroom. I think I have now given the Supreme Court quite a lot to think about. And if you read the petition, while they have not already posted the two appendices, they state at the bottom of the petition that there are additional submissions that can be obtained from the clerk of the Supreme Court. If I were you, I'd reach out to the clerk of the Supreme Court and ask for access to those additional submissions, the appendices. You'll be blown away. So I say, those who want to assist my effort on behalf of the 7th and the 14th Amendment, asking the court to reverse my case and correct the summary judgment procedures in Wisconsin and other states. I'm informed, for example, that Massachusetts has a similar, completely subjective summary judgment procedure where the judge is able to use his own personal opinion to decide whether facts are or are not reasonable. And if he concludes they're unreasonable, merely to set them aside as though they did not exist, which is how he was able to conclude in my summary judgment, which can only go forward if there are no disputed facts, he simply set aside all my facts as unreasonable, including the reports of not one but two forensic document experts who sided with me that he simply declared to be unhelpful. I mean, this is monstrous. This is ridiculous. This is a gross abuse of process. It was all improper. And by the way, I'm also going back to the Court of Appeals in Wisconsin for a reversal of the taking order, which was in violation of the statutes of Wisconsin, which are very clear, to wit, that a monetary award can only be satisfied by a monetary judgment can only be satisfied by a monetary award, that intellectual property, my blog, jamesfetzer.org, and the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, are not monetary awards. Those are intellectual properties. They have to be sent to a receiver who puts them up for bids to turn them into money. And then after the judgment is satisfied, they're returned to me as my property. None of that was done in this court by this judge, who actually admitted during the hearing on my earlier motions opposing, requesting reconsideration of his taking orders, that this is how it happens in courts, that one party just wants to get the advantage over another, and, you know, while the property may have no marketable value, that it means something to him, that he wants to take it off the market, he wants to make it unavailable to the public. The judge, the court, actually admitted that. So I'm telling you, there's a lot going on here, and I'm going to return to the Wisconsin Court of Appeals and see if they are going to uphold these very clear statutes in Wisconsin law that have been violated by a circuit court judge. Is a Court of Appeals of Wisconsin going to tolerate a clear violation of the circuit court judge and a taking of a intellectual property without going through a receiver? We shall see. Meanwhile, South Front has published, Russia seeks revenge for NATO attack on Black Sea Fleet. On the morning of October 29th, the city of Sevastopol in Crimea was subject to a major attack by enemy drones. This was the largest attack by a swarm of drones on a Russian city since the beginning of the Russian military operation in Ukraine. In total, 9 UAVs and 7 British unmanned surface vehicles, USVs, targeted the ships of the Black Sea Fleet and the civilian vessels. The operation was coordinated by the U.S.-made Global Hawk reconnaissance unmanned aerial vehicle, which had been circling over the neutral waters of the Black Sea near Crimea for several hours. May I say, Dennis Camino, who will be among the speakers at my False Flags and Conspiracy Conference 2022, to be broadcast live on the 3rd and the 4th of December. That's Saturday and Sunday, the first weekend in December. Determined that had been a global hawk that fired a missile into the west wing of the Pentagon during 9/11. No Boeing 757 hit the Pentagon. It was by a global hawk, which is, of course, utterly consistent with Jamie McIntyre reporting from the scene at the time. When asked by the anchor about the plane that hit the Pentagon, and he said, well, you might think that, but from my close-up inspection, there's no sign of a plane having hit anywhere near the Pentagon. Anywhere near the Pentagon. I mean, the bullshit the government shovels is just beyond belief. The warships of the Black Sea Fleet and air defense systems in Sevastopol managed to destroy all of the targets, meaning all of the attack drones, whether they were surface or air. According to local reports, the hull of a minesweeper, the Ivan Globus, was pierced, but the ship stayed afloat. The frigate, Admiral Makarov, received some minor shrapnel damage to its hull, and its radar system was disabled. The ships of the Black Sea Fleet that were subjected to the attack are involved in ensuring the security of the grain corridor within the International Initiative for the Export of Agricultural Products from Ukrainian ports. Specialists of the Russian Ministry of Defense picked up the wreckage of marine drones and conducted an examination. The analysis of the navigation modules allowed for establishing that the unmanned surface vehicles were heading from Odessa through the grain corridor toward the coast of Crimea. The track of one began from the security zone in the grain corridor, which may indicate it was launched from a civilian cargo ship. As a result of this military provocation, Russia has suspended its participation in the grain deal, and the Russian Navy is likely to resume military operation and once again block Ukrainian shipping in the Black Sea. A few hours after the attack, Russia identified the culprits. British specialists located in Ochov in the Mykolaiv region coordinated the preparation of the attack and trained Ukrainian servicemen of the 73rd Special Center for Naval Operations. On October 30th, the Ukrainian center, train center in Ochov, where the attack was coordinated, was hit by Russian missiles. The Ukrainian emergency services reported two fires in the town after the missile strike, but as usual, silence about damage to the military facilities. According to various sources, warehouses, headquarters building, and barracks with personnel were destroyed. Attacks by Russian missiles and drones on military and energy infrastructure facilities continue. On the morning of October 31st, the Ukraine authorities confirmed damage to energy infrastructure facilities in the Kiev, Dnipropetrovsk, Cherkasy, Kharkiv, and Zaporizhia regions. Part of the railway lines in Ukraine remain without power. There are also the largest losses of energy supply throughout the country since the beginning of the military operation. And we have a rain of 50 missiles on Kiev and other cities. There's a whole list of the cities that were hit. Rocket explosions, blah. A missile attack. This is on the Novodestroika hydroelectric power station located a few kilometers from Moldova. The rocket was seen flying over the Odessa region. That would be by the Ukrainians. Meanwhile, get this. Pure act of war against Russia. Liz Truss nailed the British operation to blow up the Nord Stream pipelines. Here's why she was quit. She broke the security protocols. The non-observance of security protocols, a sign of inadequacy, really of incompetence, is said to have been paid for by the former Prime Minister, Liz Truss, who not only authorized blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline, but sent a message with the word done to the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, just a minute after the pipeline attacks. Now, that obviously implicates both the U.S. and the U.K., as co-conspirators here in perpetrating an act of war. Now the war in Ukraine is expanding, since it's certain that Russia will respond to this clear act of war by Britain. The British and Americans assume, rightly, Germany would bow to popular pressure and make its own deal to buy Russian gas. The last plan by blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline, an operation undertaken by the British. When the Nord Stream pipeline began to explode, sensors in the Russian gas company Gazprom pipeline set up alarms, indicating the pressure had dropped massively and suddenly. They knew the pipes were broken. Their computers recorded the minutes, seconds when the sensor alarm were triggered, using coordinated universal time timestamps. Exactly 1 minute after the alarm went off at Gazprom, iCloud recordings of Prime Minister Liz Truss' iPhone show she used her iPhone to send a text message to Abe Blinken, the U.S. Secretary of State. The message read, "Done." iCloud computers also use coordinated universal time for message timestamps. Even though Russia and the UK are in different time zones, UTC proves it was literally 1 minute after the pipeline explosion that Truss sent the message to Blinken. No one else knew the pipelines had been blown up. Gazprom knew there was a problem, but didn't know what or why. Liz Truss knew because it was the British government that carried out the sabotage, which she had authorized. In fact, this information became an issue from the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs itself. Mega upload and mega file sharing platform founder Kim Schmitz, a.k.a. Kim.com, tweeted that Truss sent Blinken the "it's over" message a minute after the Nord Stream explosion, .com tweeted. How do the Russians know the UK blew up the Nord Stream pipelines in collaboration with the U.S.? Because that Truss Liz used her iPhone to text "job done" to Secretary Blinken a minute after the pipeline blew up. It's not just the Five Eyes that have access to all of big tech's databases. Russia and China also have sophisticated cyber units. The funny thing is that government officials with the highest security clearances still prefer encrypted iPhones to those issued by the NSA and GCHQ, that's British equivalent to NASA. A few days ago, Moscow blamed the British Navy for the September 26 attacks. The Russian Foreign Ministry Press Secretary Maria Zakharova reacted to the .com tweets, writing on Telegram, "I'm interested in London's answer to the following question. Did British Prime Minister Liz Truss text U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken saying done right after the Nord Stream pipeline was blown up? Millions of people around the world are waiting for London's response." On October 29th, Britain's Daily Mail reported Liz Truss' private phone had been hacked over the summer. As for the contents of the phone, nothing is known so far. Kim.com has tweeted about it, so we know all about what's going on. Now, here's why the Democrats are so panic-stricken. They're passing a 1.5, not 1.75, but $1.5 trillion bill in the dead of night. That's over 2,000 pages long without allowing any amendments. They're trying to cram as much in as long as they can before they get the boot. Latest poll, new Real Clear Politics average has 54 for Republicans in the Senate. 54 senators. Republicans 54, Democrats 46, GOP pickups, Nevada, Georgia, Arizona, New Hampshire, GOP hold, Pennsylvania. Republicans surge in every key Senate race, putting even New Hampshire back in play. And it has a lot of statistics about it going through one state after another state. Tucker Carlson has revealed the big mistake Democrats have made that is costing them everything. There are less than 2 weeks remaining until the midterm elections. In fact, what? Less than a week. It's going to be on Tuesday. This is Wednesday. Momentum is building behind GOP candidates, and Tucker revealed a big mistake Democrats made that will cost them everything. Polls show the top issues for voters are the economy, inflation, and crime. But in the home stretch, Democrats focus all their messaging on abortion. That coincides with polls and prediction markets shifting for the first time to show Republicans are favored to win both houses of Congress in November. Politicians and pundits accept there will be a Republican win on November 8th, the only question being how high the wave rises. In a recent broadcast, Tucker slammed Democrats for ignoring the issues voters say they care about the most for a single-minded focus on support for abortion on demand. Quoting Tucker, Democrats howled in outrage for weeks every hour of MSNBC. Sound like a plot summary from The Handmaid's Tale. Theocracy is rising. They'll be burning witches. Liberals seem genuinely upset, and probably most were. But at some level, not very deep from the surface, the people who run the Democrat Party weren't upset at all. They were thrilled, Carlson said. Here finally was an issue for them to run on in the midterm elections, an issue perfectly suited for a party that had nothing else to talk about. Carlson said Democrats responded to the zealotry of their donor class and called them a child sacrifice cult. The good news is that for once, lines this preposterous are not working. Abortion politics is a total fixation of Democrat donors. It's the main thing they care about. Why is that, by the way? It's a religion. It's a child sacrifice cult. Not everyone else feels that way, even Democrats. As a Daily Caller just reported, polls show that, quote, abortion is not a top priority for female voters. For female voters. In fact, quote, most women support abortion limits that would have been considered unconstitutional under Roe v. Wade. Democrats are also messaging 100% on abortion because they don't have anything good to say about inflation, since a surge in prices are a direct result of Joe Biden's socialist spending. And it is George Soros-funded prosecutors who impose no cash bail schemes that turn violent criminals loose on the streets. Polls show a majority of Americans disapprove of Joe Biden because of the disastrous Democrat record on crime and inflation. That left Democrats with the only option of talking exclusively about their support for abortion on demand up until the moment of birth. But polls show that is the least popular stance on abortion, as few Americans share the Democrat zeal for unrestricted abortion. Wow. So they're headed for disaster and then this? David DePopp pleads not guilty to all charges in Paul Pelosi incident. In first court appearance, he is not shackled. His arm is in a sling. Get this. David DePopp pled not guilty Tuesday to all charges in his first court appearance on Tuesday. DePopp pled not guilty to the numerous charges against him in the alleged Paul Pelosi attack on Friday morning. Public defender Adam Lipson speaks to the press after the hearing where he's pled not guilty. Lipson met DePopp last night in a brief meeting. He said DePopp has a vulnerability to misinformation. Bullshit. This has nothing to do with misinformation. Harry Vox has a sensational, if you don't mind all the profanity, Pelosi's Ass Hammer by Harry Vox. You can find it on my blog at James. At BitChute channel Jim Fetzer. It's definitely worth watching. Runs around 20 minutes. Among his reports, DePopp tells investigators that he and Paul Pelosi were engaging in gay sex and an argument ensued over drugs. Pelosi's are refusing to turn over surveillance video of their home, fueling more speculation of homosexuality at the home. And that, of course, is exactly what was going on. Again, I say, check it out for yourself. Just do a search. Just put in your browser adult sex toys, the hammer, on Amazon.com. $94.33. I mean, it's a monster. Three speeds, 21 functions, batteries not included. Fill it with batteries, and it's just like hitting someone over the head with a large flashlight, which I may or may not have mentioned. It appears to be how JonBenet Ramsey was killed, I think, by her mother, because JonBenet had wet the bed and her mother flipped out. Meanwhile, new photos show Joe Biden has IV punctures on his hand, and it's not the first time. Get this. Several recent photographs of Biden's hand have users on Twitter believing he's recently been administered an IV, and I say thank God for Elon Musk, who has emancipated Twitter. There's a whole lot of stuff about this Biden thing on Twitter now and a host of other issues that would have been censored up until a few days ago. A picture of Joe Biden giving a speech at a campaign event for Democrat gubernatorial candidate in Florida, Charlie Crist. Joe Biden's hand may have recently been punctured by an IV or is recovering from a puncture wound. MD Nan Haywood took to Twitter to comment and stated, "Not making a diagnosis here, but those marks on Mr. Biden's hand do resemble the residual punctures. Usually, blood draws are done from the antecubital inside the elbow vein. Intravenous lines are often inserted in the hands." And here you can see a photograph where you can see the puncture mark. The puncture mark. In his latest meeting, even with Governor Kathy Hochul, he appears to have a wound from an IV again. And it's not the first time. Here's an earlier photograph, IV marks on his hands. So what are the Democrats not telling us? I'm going to open the lines to your calls. 540-352-4452. Call and share your thoughts. The Democrats appear headed for a complete disaster. A complete disaster. They're trying to get their last licks in by looting the treasury of $1.5 trillion with a massive bill that they're having to vote on today without having even read. Let us hope down it goes down. This is no way to run a railroad. This is outrageous. It just reflects a massive corruption of the Democrat Party. You cannot support this level of corruption and remain loyal to the Constitution and the principles of the United States of America. The Democrat Party has self-immolated. This is outrageous. Don't tolerate this kind of offensive conduct. It is despicable. These Democrats are repulsive. They have completely discredited themselves. For God's sake, let's get responsible government, write it back into place, and do what we can to clean up this mess in Washington, D.C. The time has come. Use your vote wisely.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Oh,
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We do have a caller standing by. Let me mention that the U.S. and U.K. authorities are hoping Russia will respond in a military fashion to their attacks. But it looks as though the Russians are simply going to be content with Europe and the U.K. freezing and starving to death from lack of food and lack of cheap energy. I mean, the Russians actually don't have to do anything to be completely in control, so that rather than Russia undertaking any form of surrender, I think it's going to be something equivalent to the other way around. But where it appears the U.S. and the U.K. could care less about their own citizens because they're simply obsessed with Russia. It's absolutely incredible. We have a caller from 281 area code. Caller, please give me your first name and state and join the conversation.
Hello, Jim. It's Bruce. How you doing?
Good, Bruce. Speak to me.
Bruce in Texas. Yes, sir. I'll try to be concise as possible. You put out a lot of information in an hour and a half. You're quite talented at that. Did you read RT this morning?
Tell me about it. I'd love to hear.
Yeah, to their credit, Rumble, you know, which went public several months ago, was approached by France. The government of France wanted Rumble to shut down RT material and Sputnik from the video site. So what Rumble did was block all access from France to Rumble. And according to the CEO, France only amounts for like 2 or 3% of total viewership, so it's not a major concern for the time being, financially, you know, as far as views, and I guess however they generate revenue from that. But this is how things work. This is how the big money, the hedge funds, Hunch told me, go check out Rumble Scott. Stock price today. So just type in any search engine, Rumble stock price. I'm looking at it now, and it's plunged 13.76% in like 5 hours.
Rumble has tumbled.
Yeah.
And you think this has happened because?
Yes, I think that this is how the finance people, this is how they control all these corporations, you know, these individual corporations. Their stock is held through BlackRock and Vanguard, et cetera. you know, they leverage them by, you know, if you don't do what we want you to do, we're going to dump your stock. We're going to reduce your share value. It's a form of blackmail, really. And I have a hunch that's what's going on there. Maybe it's something to look into. Maybe it's nothing.
No. I appreciate all your observations. Tell us more of your reaction. I mean, I think Russia has just shown an astonishing restraint under these conditions. These are acts of war. And the fact is they're restricting their military response to Ukrainian targets, but including the British command and control, which is totally appropriate. And I think that the West, which has been trying to provoke a military confrontation, is fearful now that the Russians aren't going to fall into the trap, but rather just going to sit tight. And because they've lost their access to cheap energy and they're losing their access to any sources of food, they're going to freeze and starve to death. I mean, they have brought it on themselves, Bruce. It's just astonishing the stupidity of the leaders of these European states that have such distinguished histories and cultures. I mean, they're absolutely abusing their positions of authority and damaging the lives of their own citizens. I mean, it's going to be catastrophic. It's going to be catastrophic. The Russians hold all the cards here.
Well, these are all sham democracies, even including, you know, for the time being until the election. And we'll see what happens after that. Because, you know, Mitch McConnell, if he becomes Senate Majority Leader again, you know how he is, you know. Was that Marjorie Taylor Greene that you played earlier talking about the $1.5 trillion? Yeah.
Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's just sensational. I'm a huge fan.
She was
being accused of being a conspiracy theorist. So I went through, like, they were making 7 different allegations against her. So I published a blog, and I went through each of the 7, and in every single case, she was correct. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So if you go to JamesHFetzer.org and just do a search on Marjorie Taylor Greene, I would bet it's going to pop up.
You know, all they have, pejoratives and character assassination and propaganda. That's how they operate. It's all a mind screw. And look at Hillary Clinton. What did she say when she was the first lady? That, oh, it's all a part of a vast right wing conspiracy. She's the conspiracy theorist herself. And the election. I remember the final, maybe you can go back in your mind, to the final debate of the 2016 presidential campaign between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And they were both standing there, and the presenter had asked Trump, and I saw this is a loaded question, are you going to accept the results of the election regardless of the outcome? And he was like, yes, I will, you know. If that was a clue to me that, yeah, they're going to try to cheat it.
Of course.
And they wanted to cheat it the first time. And so when they failed to cheat it, they claimed that he cheated. They claimed that Russia hacked it. These people are incredibly corrupt, nasty, evil. It's just, and how do we, can we vote our way out of this? This is maybe one test coming up next week. Or is this going to be papered over? I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, it is a test. I mean, all of the polling is horrendously against the Democrats. I mean, it's massive. It's extensive. It leaves no doubt about who is going to prevail. None. And it appears the Democrats are going to pick up 4 to 5 seats in the Senate and 50 or more seats in the House. I've been saying as much as 100 seats in the House. I mean, look, 8 out of 10 Americans believe the country is out of control and independents are breaking hard for the GOP. It's overwhelming. How many feel things in the U.S. are out of control? 79%. Under control, 21%. if you vote for Congress, who's better prepared to cope with putting the country back into control? 58% Republican, 34% Democrats. 73% believe things are going badly in America. 42% say very badly. Only 20%, 26% say things are going well. 6% very well. That typically is an indicator of the outcome of a midterm election. There's also been a massive switch in the congressional generic balloting. In other words, in general, would you prefer a Democrat or a Republican in office? Back in October, that's not so long ago. October 14th, Democrats led by 40% to 38. That's Democrats with a plus two. 2 weeks later, October 28th, Republicans 49, Democrats 33. That's Republicans plus 16. That's an historic high on the generic ballot. You can bet the lead for the Republicans is even greater because many conservatives don't participate in polls. They don't believe in it. They think the pollsters are liars, cheaters. The poll offered a myriad of questions on many topics. One response that stood out was a failure of the Biden admin to buy political support by draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to lower gas prices at the pump, after Biden's own policies had raised them by several dollars per gallon. Only 11% credit Biden and the Democrats for the price of gas. 52% blame them. Similar numbers for the economy. We got Brian from Missouri standing by. Brian, please join the conversation.
You know what I worry about, Jim? I know they control all those voting machines. And I think, gee, are they going to make it look like the Democrats won in some kind of a landslide, or that they won so that people riot and that's what they want? I mean, they're so crazy at this point. I don't know how to take it. And I guess we'll find out come Tuesday. But I just don't believe any of their polls. I don't believe anything they say. I think everything you get is basically a lie. So that's just how I feel about it. And
well, Mitchell,
one observation.
Sure.
Go on, I'm sorry.
No, you.
I was going to make one observation on Ukraine. Okay. When I was in Vietnam, one of the most effective things over there was a B-52 strike. Okay. You would carpet bomb certain areas where you had troop concentrations, and it would just absolutely obliterate them. And the Russians have these backfire bombers, these Tu-160s that are probably three times the size of a B-52. And I keep thinking, why don't they just carpet bomb in those wide open spaces between the villages and whatnot where they know the Ukrainians are dug in? To me, it's just, you know, again, we're controlled by deep states, so they've got their deep state, and you just can't seem to get things quite right. So that's just an observation I had. So anyway.
Well, from the beginning, Putin has tried to conduct this in a humane fashion to preserve the lives of civilians, especially in the eastern part of Ukraine, the Donbass region, where they're ethnically Russian, they speak Russian, they support Russia. They've actually, four provinces have voted to join Russia, which appears to be perfectly appropriate under international law, just as the Crimea previously had voted to join Russia. He was seeking to preserve the infrastructure. He was, in other words, seeking to conduct a kinder and gentler military operation. But the Ukrainians have left him no choice but to up the ante. He has now brought in a new commanding general known as Armageddon. A guy apparently has a very heavy hand. And they're retaliating. But I do believe that they're not going to get the military response to these acts of war by the UK and the US because Putin does not need to do that. All he needs to do is stand by. They don't have any energy. They're already planning for blackouts in the UK, by the way. They're already wargaming how they can conduct blackouts of no energy for weeks at a time, weeks at a time. And in Germany, as I mentioned before, they're already cutting down old forests for timber wood to burn in their fireplaces to stay warm. This is a catastrophe for Europe and the UK, a catastrophe. And it was all brought upon them by their leaders. Now, Mitchell observes that polling is the art of perception management, and it is for the polls that are dishonest polls are manipulated, but those I'm reporting come from ABC, CBS, are showing the Republicans with a huge lead, even though ABC and CBS are clearly not conservative-friendly. And when you get to real clear politics, they perform the technique of taking polls of polls. In other words, they give you the average from a whole bunch of different polls, and they have been historically regarded as the most reliable and accurate of all the polling. And they're showing that the Republicans are going to clean the clock of the Democrats, and they're going to go down big, which, of course, is why they're trying to push through a, what, 2,500-page bill without allowing anyone to read it. They're trying to, you know, take their last opportunity to loot the Treasury of the United States for partisan political purposes. I can't imagine all the Green New Deal garbage that's in that bill, as I mentioned before. Putting in green charging stations, taking out gas stations, promoting gas vehicles. And what happens when our electric grid goes out? Then the whole nation is immobilized. I mean, it's so stupid that unless you actually wanted to destroy the United States, you would never adopt such a policy. And sad to say, that's exactly what's going on. Mitchell, you'd be most welcome to add your thoughts, my friend.
Welcome to the dystopian future they've built, Jim. You know, it's crazier than you probably would can even imagine with everything that we're talking about.
By the way, I think the statement that they were in their underwear is false. I think they were both naked. Here's a nice comment, a summary overview. No break-in. 911 calls for over a half hour. Paul is in underwear, assailant in underwear. Both are only one had a hammer. Assailant took a hammer from Paul and hit him with police present. Police were only doing a welfare check in this gated community with private security. Broken window is from inside, glass on outside. Methinks a man like Paul who hangs out in gay bars and brings young men home late night is attested by neighbors, had a spat with his date. His date is a radical leftist. His date is not a mega man. His date is registered green and lives in Berkeley in a nudist community supporting BLM. I think that nails it right there. And this is just, in my opinion, hysterical because it is so grotesque and embarrassing for the Democrats. And the timing could not be more exquisite. Bruce, your thoughts, then Brian, then back to Mitchell. Bruce.
Yeah, this DePape guy, you know, they're going to dump him. I mean, they're going to throw him under the bus with a public defender that's obviously going to help in that regard. You know, as screwed up as the guy may be, I mean, I almost feel sorry for him. You know, in a way, you know, he's doing a nasty job, but he wasn't hired to go to prison. It's all cover-up. To cover up their lewdness, you know. If he was asking for Nancy, maybe they had threesomes before.
One of the commentators said Nancy may be responsible for erectile dysfunction worldwide. And they're basically saying it's no surprising he's looking for companionship somewhere else. I mean, she is grotesque. She is grotesque.
That movie, Eyes Wide Shut, you know, that was Stanley Kubrick's fatal mistake in making that movie. That was a good description. It was edited, but it kind of opened up, you know, a little bit of window into the world of these elites.
That's the movie that gave orgies a bad name. Brian, your thoughts.
Well, Brian. You know, that nudist group he belonged to, can you hear me?
Yes.
Am I there? Yeah, anyway.
Yes.
It was a Castro group. They honored Castro and all wore cock rings, and they were real, real vicious. They were a bad group. I read on the internet. I don't know if you'd heard anything about that. And
yes.
I just know that when I go out to do burglaries, I go through my underwear to see which pair I want to wear out the door and just only wear underwear. All that just is so totally preposterous. So
this anyway, is a $6 million mansion. This is a $6 million mansion with all kinds of security. A third party let the police in. Why would the third party have not come to the aid of Paul Pelosi if something were wrong? Paul Pelosi wanted privacy with David DePape so they could do their sex thing with this giant dildo known as the hammer. You can check it out. You can order one for yourself if you want. Right there. It's available via Amazon.com. Mitchell, your thoughts.
Go ahead, please.
I'd just like to add that, you know, all of the rainbow loving gay nudist hookers out there, aren't you mad? They say you're MAGA. In all honesty, you know, that's not Mega Man. Mega Man wouldn't come in his underwear. Everybody knows he'd be going commando.
Commando.
but seriously, there is so much information, disinformation. You know, the Capitol Police have cameras on Pelosi's house on the outside. You know, I don't know if they have them inside, but I know they're on the outside, and I know the Capitol Police only saw the flashing police lights, and then they had to rewind their video to find the break-in. So they saw it, they just weren't on the job.
I want to mention to everyone that I'm going to have my third annual False Flag and Conspiracies Conference. It's going to have 24 presentation is going to be done live by Zoom. It's going to be a virtual conference. It's shaping up beautifully. You can find the bio sketches of about 18 of the participants. I'm organizing the schedule. Check it out at jameshfetzer.org/FFC. That's lowercase FFC for False Flag Conference -2022-speakers. No apostrophe, speakers-biography/ jameshfetzer.org/FFC-2022-speakers-biography/. It's going to be a hell of a conference, I'll just tell you. I've got so many terrific speakers lined up, including, for example, Dina Pollard-Sachs, Joaquin Hagopian, Dr. Catherine Horton, Dennis Camino, Joel Olson, William Binney, Scott Bennett, Russ Winter, Brian Davidson, PI, Nicholas Kullerstrom, PhD, Miriam Hinane, Ronald F. Avery, Alexander Baker, Ole Domegaard, Monique Lukens, Alex Scott, others coming. I'm telling you, this is going to be terrific. This is one you don't want to miss. Mark your calendar for Saturday and Sunday, the first weekend in December, the 3rd and the 4th of December. And if you go there, you can already get your tickets in advance. I'm just telling you, this is one you do not want to miss. I guarantee 100%. And I'm going to do one year after year as long as I am able. Mitchell, would you like to add a few words here as we come to the end? And then I'll ask Brian and Bruce as well.
Well, Jim, all I can say is you better have a segment on Trump-Russia collusion within that.
Yeah. I'm pretty
every
sure.
Every day they have a walking dead president.
Yeah. Well, there's so many conspiracies going on. I mean, real bona fide conspiracies, stealing the election, the vax, the phony vax. All this stuff about the war in Ukraine, about the Russian being the bad guys, the U.S. being the good. It appears we even just stole the election in Brazil for the preferred candidate of the left. It looks like the Brazilians are out in protest and they're not going to take it. And in Brazil, under the Constitution, if there appears to be proof of the theft of election, the military can intervene and set it right. I have the impression that's what's going to take place in Brazil. Do you have anything along those lines, Mitchell, that latest at your fingertips?
The only thing that I've really noticed is about Brazil is they have one district that voted heavily for Lula, and every other, major voting area voted for Bolsonaro. So, it's populism. And if you have it here in the United States without having a constitutional republic, you would have the same result. You would have one or two areas overwhelming everybody.
How the Democrats, they took like 16% of the counties. We got the greatest vote ever. How is that even possible? It's ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. Bruce, real quick, one sentence or two.
Yes. Another headline from RT.com. Zelensky to consider honoring gay porn star. A petition calls on the Ukrainian leader to replace a statue of Catherine the Great in Odessa with a monument to Billy Harrington. He's a now deceased porn star. Can you imagine? This is who we're sending these trillions of dollars to.
I know, it's obscene.
It's more gay.
It's obscene.
It's obscene.
There's
no better way to describe it. That's all I got. Thank you.
Brian, a final thought.
Well, real quick, if you want to see what the double of Biden looked like younger, when he was younger, an actor named Struan Rogers, Struan, Struan Rogers, a British actor, and they've got pictures of him on the internet when he's younger, and it just blows your mind. It's like you're looking at this fake Biden in his younger years. You'll find it interesting. So
Brian,
that's all I've got.
Brian, Bruce, and Mitchell, thank you so much for commenting today. Check out the False Flag and Conspiracy 2022 from my blog. This is one you do not want to miss. Meanwhile, spend as much time as you can with your friends and loved ones. The British and the U.S. are doing so much to provoke war with Russia. I believe they're going to play a long game and starve them out, and it's going to happen to the despair of the British and American nations. It's going to be a calamity. Thanks for being here.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence